Today, we're going to be looking at the book of Revelation again. And before I read today's scripture, I want to say something about the book of Revelation. One, it's not the book of Revelations. It's only one revelation. Okay? Just remember that. It's one revelation that has been given to John, that God has revealed to him. The other thing about the book of Revelation is I enjoy the book of Revelation because it is a book of joy and it is a book of encouragement. And that's what the book was meant to be written for. It was not meant to be a book of doom and gloom. It's meant to be a book of joy, excitement, revelation to the people who are undergoing persecution at the time that John writes this. Okay? So I hope that you will spend some time in the book of Revelation. I find a lot of people don't spend time there because I don't want to see all the bad things that's going to happen. What you need to concentrate on while you read the book is what are the good things that are going to happen for those who believe in what Jesus Christ did for them. And this book is filled with that. Now, the last thing I'm going to say about the book of Revelation before I read the scripture is John, something has been revealed to John that he has never seen before. And in one way, he does not have vocabulary for talking about. And he's trying to explain it to us in the best possible way. So it makes it very hard sometimes to understand what John's trying to explain to us. The passage that we have today, I think, is fairly easy to understand. But there are large sections that it's difficult, and many people have then explained it to support their favorite idea of how things are going to happen. And they say, see, that's what Scripture says. And what I want you to understand is that it is a confusing book, but it is an encouraging and hopeful book. So as we turn to Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 6, listen to these words that John writes. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. I don't know how many of you have ever been in a place where you've been thirsty, where you just wanted a drink of just water. Didn't need anything else, just something. I'll never forget my first full day in Kenya. The guide, Sam, who was a good friend, took us to Hell's Gate National Park, a wildlife reserve. And he gave us some instructions for that day. First instruction was bring your canteen. Second instruction was, if you see a cat, a big cat, stand still. He says, I'm going to drop you off here. By the way, big cats are called lions, but they call them big cats over there. That's seriously what they call them. He dropped us off and he says, I'm going to go park the van down here a ways and I will come back and meet you. By the way, it's called Hell's Gate National Park because that's where a lot of hot springs come up. And you can't go see any of them. They have capped them all off for energy in their country. So it's not possible to see any of them. Boy, what a joy to watch and to see the wild animals. And I mean, it's as though you're walking in the pasture with them. To see some antelope, to see some wildebeest, to see a couple of other things we saw that day. We didn't get to see any big cats, by the way, in case you were wondering. And we didn't get to see any elephants that day because elephants are in a preserve of their own in Kenya. They're few in number and they try to keep them so that people don't poach them. It wasn't until about halfway through our walk that Eric and I realized that we had brought our canteen, but we didn't fill it. Sam just told us to bring our canteen. He didn't tell us to fill it. Boy Scout that I am, I should have realized. 100 degree weather, you want to carry water with you. I was thirsty. Eric was thirsty. Sam, who is an American, but he grew up over there as a child of missionary parents, I think he just kind of shook his head as he poured part of his canteen into mine and part into Eric's. Like, not brilliant people. We were so excited to be there. We were so excited to see things that we didn't think about some of the necessities. One of the things I really like about this passage is that water that's given. You see, let me go back to the beginning. It says that God creates a new heaven and a new earth. The ones that we know now will be put away. And it will be a new heaven and a new earth. I don't know what to think about that. Because we're told to take care of this creation that we have. To take care of it, to manage it, to be good stewards, good shepherds of it. And this scripture says it will all be put away. And a new heaven and a new earth will be there. There's something I'm still thinking about. That what does that mean? But then right there in the midst of that, it says that the city of God descends into the new creation. The new Jerusalem. The new place where God's people are going to live. It descends into the new creation. It comes down from heaven. Now, I wonder what the city is going to be. There's plenty of descriptions about John's seeing this city and how big it is and how many gates it has and what kind of stones there are that are the foundations, and the gates are named after apostles. And there's just so much description there that I want you to remember something. John's trying to figure out how to describe something he's never seen before. I think the picture is much bigger than we can imagine. I think the dynamics of this new city of God is much bigger than we can grasp a hold of. I mean, some of our songs we sing about streets of gold. There is all kinds of gems around the foundation of this city. It is gigantic by John's description. And I really think his words don't match up to what he's seeing. that there is so much more. And this is one place where I really think imagination should come into our faith. You see, John's seeing this picture and he's trying to explain it to us. And we're trying to get his words and they're hard. But I really think we need to imagine as big as we can for this new Jerusalem, this new city that God is going to live in with God's people. Because then the next thing that John says here is that God comes to the city to dwell among the people of God. God leaves heaven. Recognize this. God leaves heaven to dwell in this city with God's people. Face to face, present. Can you even come close to get an idea what that might be like? Other parts of the book of Revelation say that there's no need for the sun and the moon anymore because the light is the light that comes from God, the glory of God, the Shekinah of God, to use the Hebrew word. Incredible, right? Just think about that. You've heard me say this before, and I did, where was I? I think I stopped to get lunch one day, and I asked a young man, I said, how are you today? At a drive-thru. I said, how are you today? And he looked at me, he said, well, I'm on this side of the dirt. And I looked at him and I said, the way I read the Bible, it says the other side of the dirt is absolutely amazing. And that what heaven looks like is glorious beyond what I can explain. And he paused. And he looked at me and said, yeah, you're right. So I'm hoping I at least made him pause and think for a minute. To be on the other side of the dirt means I'm not present here anymore, but I'm present with God. And what a glorious thing that will be. I get to see God face to face. I get to see the Jesus who died for me. Is death fearful? Yeah. Because there's a part of us that says, is it really true? But what it says right here is, it is true. It is true that this glorious city of Jerusalem, this new city, is going to descend upon a new creation out of a new heaven, and that God is going to come down and live in that city with the people of God. Can you not wait for that? Can you not? I mean, what a glorious thing. Death's scary because we don't know what we're going to have to face before that happens. But here's what I truly believe. Death is nothing but a doorway that we walk through to the presence of God. Death is nothing but a doorway that we walk through to the presence of God, and we will be present in this place. Now, with that kind of hope, I can live through just about anything, can't you? With that kind of hope, I can live through the most difficult of times. Because I know one day I'll live in the new Jerusalem on a new creation that fell out of a new heaven and live with God face to face. Wow! Does that not excite you? Come on, stop being Baptist for a minute. Does that not excite you? I mean, that's an exciting thing. And sometimes we sit here like, yeah, that'll happen one day. It's an exciting thing. And it means that no matter what I come to, this is the point of the book of Revelation. No matter what I have to walk through, look where I get to live for all eternity. And look who I get to live with for all eternity. That's the purpose of this book. And if you're steering clear of this book because it's got scary things in it, and it's got doom and gloom in it, and it's got hellfire and brimstone, pay attention to the good parts. Pay attention to the exciting things. Stop being a person of doom and gloom. Look at what God says will happen. It's incredible. It says chaos, death, crying, and pain will be no more. I mean, think about that. Chaos. Is there just a little bit of chaos in our world right now? Is there just a little bit of chaos in our country right now? Gone. Is there death? It will be gone. Is there crying? Now, I have some questions about this one. Jan and I discuss it every once in a while. Because it says two different things to me. Look at verse 4. It says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There must be some crying there. Otherwise, how does God wipe away the tears? And then the other question I have, what about tears of joy? Have you ever had tears of joy so excited that you cry? And it says that God's going to wipe those away. Can you imagine God's finger reaching down and wiping away a tear in your eye? What an incredible, compassionate description. And I know many of you mothers would say, what a motherly description, because guys say what to little boys? Suck it up. Be a man. Don't cry. And a mother reaches down and says, it's okay. And what is God going to do? It's okay. No more death, no more pain, no more. I know of at least a few of you that will be glad when there's no more pain. But then I want to expand on something for you that God says here. In verse 6, he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Now, here's what God's saying. Look at that. Here is what God's saying. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Okay? We would say it this way. It is done. I am the A and the Z. What God is saying is it's complete. All of it's finished. From A to Z, it's done. The beginning, now it's at the end. It's all done. I am all of those things. Chaos, death, crying, and pain will be no more. And then God says, to the thirsty, I will give water without cost. From the spring of the water of life. St. Teresa of Avila has a book called The Interior Castle, which is an absolutely incredible book. It talks about the journey that a person makes from being outside the kingdom of God to being very close in relationship with God. And one of the things that St. Teresa of Avila talks about is that there's a part of our Christian walk where we find the waters of life, but we also build channels and conduits to get that water to us. We take the time and we have found this water of life, and we find a way to make sure that water of life is always being funneled to us. And she says, as you mature in your faith, you find that there's a spring of water that bubbles up so much that you don't have to do anything to have it. You don't have to build any kind of pipe system, channels, nothing. You become so close to God that these waters of life just flow up into you and hopefully through you. God didn't ask us to hold those things back for nobody else. God wants those channels of living water to flow into us and through us and out to other people. How do they get the taste of the water? Through us. It's our responsibility to take the waters that we taste, these living waters, and to take them out into the midst of the world where people are thirsty. Where people want God, but they don't know how to find God. That people want to know what God's saying to them, and they want to live with God, but they don't know how to do it. Folks, it's our responsibility to take this picture of this hope, of this incredible water without cost. Did you know there's not very many places today you can get water without cost? Seems like when I was growing up, you could walk into a service station and ask for a cup of water, and they'd give you one and wouldn't charge you anything. They wouldn't even charge you for the cup. But now they want to charge you an exorbitant amount for water. And just one of those things that somebody helped me notice one day that I can't unsee now. You ever seen that water called Evian? Do you know what that spells if you reverse the letters? Naive. The naive ones that are buying a bottle of water. Just think about that next time you see it. I can't unsee that now. Somebody drew my attention to that, and I can't unsee it. Folks, God says water with no cost. God says, I'm going to bring you this water. I'm going to bring it to you. Maybe you remember the story of the Samaritan woman at the well, where Jesus looks at her and says, you know, I don't understand why you're not asking me for the water of life. And she's confused. Because the same Greek word also means moving water. And she hears moving water. And he says, I can show you where it is, and you'll never have to come to the well again. And what does she say? Please show me so I don't ever have to come to the well again. What is he talking about? He's talking about these waters that bring life, that are free. The city of God, where God dwells among us, is going to have these waters. And what I want to tell you before I ask you a question is I hope you know how to drink these waters now. Because I'm a firm believer in you can drink these waters now. You don't have to wait for the New Jerusalem to fall from heaven or to descend from heaven. Let's not say fall. You don't have to wait for that. You can drink those waters now every day. And I hope that you do. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to dwell in God? To dwell in God's face-to-face presence? Are you prepared for that? Are you ready for that? Because you see, the creation will be new. The heaven will be new. There'll be a new Jerusalem that descends into the creation, and God will come and live there in a magnificent city. And we'll have living waters. Are you prepared for that? Maybe today you need to know Jesus Christ. Maybe today you need to take a step that you've never taken before so that you can have those living waters. Or maybe today you realized, I haven't been walking the path I need to walk to experience those living waters. Do you need to rededicate yourself today? Do you need to come forward? I know that's a scary thing, because then people will wonder about you because you came forward. But I'm going to tell you this, sometimes when we put feet to what we feel God saying to us, it makes a tremendous difference in our lives. Amen. When we do something physically to support what's happening in our hearts. So I don't know what's happening in your hearts today. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we come to you because we do need to know you. Some of us have walked with you for many years and decades. Some of us have walked that way and just hoping that our relationship will grow ever closer to you. Some of us have given great effort to that. Lord, people are here this morning because they want living water. They want moving water that moves them and guides them and leads them. They want that deep relationship with you. Pray, Lord, for those who are here today that need to make decisions, that today they could. And that maybe today also they could put some feet to that decision, so that we know that they've made a decision and we can support them and encourage them and help them. Lord, what a beautiful picture you give to us about once we die, what happens. Help us to hold on to that hope and that dream that's not a dream that's just passing, but it's a dream that becomes real one day for those who believe in Jesus Christ. So guide us and help us this morning to take a step if we need to. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.